Hello, readers. Welcome to The Right Kind of Book Talk. I'm your host, Stacey Wright. Did you have an excellent reading week? What did you do this weekend? I spent my weekend making and packaging bookmarks. My poor hands. If you hear a little dude's voice, that's my son Thomas. He's off school today because he's sick. And even though he's sick, he's still reaping mayhem all across the house. But I'm going to endeavor to chug-a-chug-a-chew on. So it's March 4th, 2025, and this is episode 17, Tropes, the new way of reading and reviewing books. I've noticed a lot of book reviews lately come with a list of tropes and very little in the way of conversational reviewing. It seems to be becoming really popular. Like, a lot of readers use tropes as a way of picking books. So you can clearly see the evolution of how we pick our books is adapting. And reviewers are definitely on board with that. Now, the biggest issue I see is that half the time, I have no idea what the trope is supposed to be. More and more tropes seem to be made up on a daily basis. And I find I'm having to either Google the term, and if I can't find it on Google, then I have to go and ask the reviewer, and it's really embarrassing. Quite frankly, I could do without all the newfangled terms. I wish there was just a set of tropes, like a set of tropes for each genre. Come with me on this explorational journey of the trope and what are the most popular ones in some of the genres I enjoy. I may even recommend you a book or two. But before we fall down this rabbit hole, let's find out what books are available today. Yep. Publication day. Rock and roll. Okay, so first off, we have A Lesson in Thorns by Sierra Simone, and that one is a dark romance. A Murder in Zion by Nicole Maggie, and it's a crime thriller. So it's a mystery book, and it has a lady sleuth. Ooh. A Touch of Shadows by Jessica Thorne, and that one is a romanticy. Blood Moon by Sandra Brown, and it's a romance thriller. I love Sandra Brown. Broken Country by Claire Leslie Hall, and it's a women's fiction novel. I really am not a fan with they calling it the genre that. I hate that. Bulletproof Barista by Cleo Coyle, and it's a mystery. Coming Home by Jessica Lane, and it's a small town romance. Finlay Donovan Digs Her Own Grave by Elle Cosimano, and it's a mystery romance and one of my absolute favorite series. So you should just go and grab all the books right now. Run. Don't walk. Run. Loving the books out today. I'm not going to lie. Great selection. But what exactly is a trope? A trope is a reoccurring plot device, incident, or a character type that we see over and over again in storytelling mediums. They are used to provide a comfortably familiar story that lulls a reader into a sense of security. They know what to expect. Literary tropes are polarizing because they represent what readers love most about a given genre, but they can also signify a lack of originality. Authors are finding new ways and exciting ways to give us the tropes we need without repeating the same tired narrative. The biggest problem with tropes is making sure the author doesn't turn the book into a cliche. That's enough to put any reader off. Tropes are often used in fiction and nonfiction, and the most tropes tend to be in fantasy and romance genres. Reviewers use tropes to highlight information about the book and covers things like the genre, the plot, themes, who the audience is, mood, and the style. Sounds handy, right? It's like a shopping list of fun. Trouble is, sometimes I have no idea what this trope means. I had one the other day, cinnamon roll, golden retriever, like WTF, what is that? Sounds like a puppy cafe to me. Maybe I'm old. Maybe I really should just learn, but I can't. I can't, okay? There are hundreds of tropes across all the genres. There are some I know I like small town meet cutes. They're my kryptonite. The Love Hypothesis by Ali Hayward is an epic meet cute book. And Small Town, It Happens One Summer by Tess Bailey. Love it. It's spicy, but I love it. When books have both, it's an instant 5-star for me. Book Lovers by Emily Henry. Excellent book. So sometimes I will go looking for books and the tropes I really enjoy. So this is The Right Kind of Book Talks. quick guide to tropes. Now, let's look at some of the familiar tropes that readers have come to expect across their favorite genres. Let's start with the most popular, fantasy book tropes. Here are some of the most common tropes you'll see across classic and contemporary fantasy literature. So the first one is the chosen one trope. And the book I enjoyed within this trope was The Hunger Games by Suzanne Collins. Now, this trope used to be really popular, but it's been raising eyebrows with some readers as of late. These stories have a character that is above all the other characters, and usually it's somebody you wouldn't expect. Sometimes it's some prophecy or a hidden secret in a person's past, like maybe they have supernatural relatives. A lot of authors got lazy with this trope, okay? And it's one of the reasons it's lost popularity. But Throne of Glass is a well-loved series, and Sarah J. Maas, she really does the trope justice with that book series, in my opinion. So next is the quest trope. And the book I chose is Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. So the most famous quest story in literary history is definitely King Arthur and the Holy Grail. The trope is often used in conjunction with other tropes and sometimes tends to be a lesser trope. So it's not the most important trope in the book. This trope needs the main character to go on a journey that will determine the fate of their families, friends, or perhaps the world. And they go on a dangerous ride to retrieve what they need. Okay, next. Ooh, I love this one. The supernatural romance, or paranormal romance, as I like to call it. And the book I love in this trope was The Cruel Prince, which is actually the first book in the series, The Folk of the Air. There's a reason that romantasy novels are some of the rising stars of the literary world. Readers, particularly those of certain demographics, tend to swoon over blooming romances between a human and another worldly being. Things like vampires, werewolves, gargoyles, centaurs, fairies, merpeople, ghosts, zombie ghosts, fallen stars, demons, angels, and just about any other vaguely humanoid magical creature you can think of. And they're all fair game. People have gone mental for some of the supernatural freaking that goes on in these books. Okay, next is the supernatural love triangle. This is not my favorite because I detest love triangles, period. But if you are looking for a supernatural love triangle, try the Suki Stackhouse series because it's actually one of the series I actually really enjoyed. Okay, but what if your damsel has not one, but two supernatural hotties vying for her affections? She struggles to pick the one who her heart needs more. I hate that. Now, dark romance doesn't worry about this. They just let her have both. I hate love triangles. Like, I really hate them. I feel like they are unnecessary and messy and people get hurt. Next is the mentor archetype. So that's like Harry Potter, okay? It's not really tropey in the exact meaning of the word, but there's a particular incarnation of the mentor that tends to arise a lot in fantasy literature. Like Dumbledore was this for the Potterdom. And it was an excellent plot point with Gandalf the Wizard as well in Lord of the Rings. Having someone our hero can look up to and gain wisdom from is a real win for me. So next is the reluctant leader trope. And I love this series, okay? Black Dagger Brotherhood. And it fits this bill with perfection, all right? So this is basically where a lead character is thrust into a leadership role despite not wanting the position, often due to lack of personal ambition, a preference for a quieter life, or maybe they fear the responsibility. But eventually they do step into the leader role because it's necessary. Usually it's because they have a strong moral compass or the needs of the group outweigh their own needs. Now, it's a great trope because they feel the anxieties and regular fears like we do as us as humans, which makes it really easy to relate to. Next, the secret society trope. I don't read a lot in this trope in the fantasy genre, but I did pick Legendborn for my book. Is there anything more thrilling than discovering a centuries-old elitist organization which may or may not sacrifice unwitting virgins in exchange for shadowy power? Or perhaps a centuries-old elitist organization which protects unwitting humans from forces beyond their comprehension? This is actually a fan favorite trope, which offers the potential to explore powerful themes like segregation, classism, and identity. So next, the hidden world trope. Ooh, okay, let's go with Zodiac Academy. So rather than there being a secret society hidden in our world, this trope covers the fact that there is more than one world that humanity doesn't know about. These stories see the main character exposed to a hidden layer beneath their own, filled with beautiful and seductive dangers. Ooh, okay, next. The Ultimate Evil. Ooh, okay, what book? The Dark One. It's a graphic novel, but trust me on it, okay? One common reoccurring trope in fantasy stories is this idea of an ultimate, all-encompassing evil power. The heroes need to defeat the ultimate evil in order to ensure the survival of the human race. This figure might be a human threat that's risen to astronomical powers, or it could be something ancient, has been awakened, and is now reaping havoc on the world. Handmaids. Now, Margaret Atwood scared the ever-living sheets out of me with this book. Dystopias represent the worst possible course our world can take if it doesn't address these problems. It usually brings up social issues. So in Handmaids, it leans heavily on the patriarchy and how women are commodities. Next is Newfound Superpowers. And for this book, I chose A Deadly Education. This is the hero, or even perhaps a villain, finding their powers by chance. They often have been put in a place and they don't know they have powers. Or maybe they just haven't come into them yet. Like maybe it's a coming of age thing. It usually makes for a more interesting read because we watch the characters try and navigate their powers in a very human way. And where would sci-fi be without time travel? And for this book, I'm going to choose The Ministry of Time. Although time travel can exist in fantasy literature as well, it's largely associated within science fiction. Now, this trope sees the central characters jumping backwards and or forwards in time, inevitably causing trouble for themselves or the wider world. Okay, next, Interstellar Politics. Now, this one really isn't my jam, but I did really enjoy the Illuminae files. Now, in these stories, the plot revolves around the contentious communication between planets or solar systems. They often come to blows with war, or there could be some espionage. Now, these books are loaded with action and usually have really complex themes. So next is Alternate Universes. Now, I have picked the book 11-22-63. It was such an amazing book, okay? Stephen King nailed it. Could there be a parallel universe in which you made a different choice or took a different path? Now, with this book, the only limit is your imagination. We get to see the success or failures out of the changes that the person made. Kind of like the butterfly effect. Next. Okay, I haven't read any books in this trope, which is Creepy Robots, but I do really want to read iRobot. Usually there'll be some kind of robot with a humanistic body and not AI. Okay, what was that movie called with the robots? You know, the one with Jude Law? He was a sex robot. Oh, it's called AI. Yeah, okay, that probably is going to confuse you. It probably wasn't the best example, but they had real bodies, which is what I was trying to illustrate. Okay, next is Genetic Engineering. Now, I just finished the one by John Mars, and it was awesome. So let's say you could design the perfect baby, or maybe the perfect partner, or maybe upgrade yourself when you need a post-divorce refresh. It literally blurs the lines between what makes a human and what makes them transhuman. Now, it's a really controversial trope. And the book I just read, The One, focuses on using DNA to find your perfect match. Ooh. Okay, next, The Impending Apocalypse. Ooh. Okay, so this one, I'm going to pick Passage Trilogy just because it starts before the apocalypse, shows you during and after in the whole series. So it's not like the end of the world. It hasn't happened yet, but it's coming. And this trope builds up the anticipation of the disaster. They usually follow humans making a disastrous mistake that takes out half the population, or they turn on some machine and it causes earthquakes and that wipes out the grid and the food supply. Like my favorite is when they do like the nuclear reactor is going to blow and all the lead up to that. Very exciting stuff. But let's get back into the genre that I actually have more knowledge about, romance book tropes. Next, let's look at the ones that are most deeply trope-laden, the love story. This is one of my ultimate favorites, The Meet Cute, like I said, and I love so many, but I chose the book, The Hating Game. The Meet Cute is a sort of story that you tell your future grandkids and or wedding guests about, and it's how you met your significant other and how you first crossed paths. And it's usually a really cute story, like a chance strike of destiny, and you bond over something really small, like one of your pets has run away and you're the other one found it, or you go to grab the same cup of coffee at the same time at the coffee shop. Okay, next is Insta-Love. I know people hate this one, but I love it. And I chose The Discovery of Witches as my book. It's really a mainstay of fairy tales and young adult romances. These stories have their main character discovering the one within moments of meeting each other. Sometimes there may be a supernatural destiny involved. Other times, just hormones. Or they're just in lust. The trope that's the biggest of them all. The one romance trope to rule them all. And it's enemies to lovers. And the book I chose is Fourth Wing. Yep. Yeah. Now, the trope is overused in my opinion. That hate could be turned to love is a bit of a stretch for me. But it has readers staying up past their bedtimes to see if they will or won't kiss under all that sexual animosity. So next on the agenda is Friends to Lovers. Which book did I pick? Okay, Love and Other Words. Such a cute book. So this one's on the opposite end. This story involves two close childhood friends, or just friends in general, learning to see each other in a new way. These relationships often work well because they've already seen the best and worst in each other in their friendship. Now, I tend to agree with that, but it really is a rather tame trope and doesn't tend to be as heated as other love tropes. Now, this one usually comes with enemies to lovers, and it's forced proximity. And I chose the book, The Unhoneymooners, okay? It's hilarious, brilliant book. The forced proximity trope means two characters stuck in a small space, such as an office setting, maybe an elevator or a classroom. With nowhere to hide, latent feelings start bubbling up. They often antagonize each other throughout the book, and the banter is often off the charts hilarious. This one is not my favorite, but it's an imbalanced dynamics trope. And for this one, I picked My Dark Vanessa. Now, this dynamic can be achieved with an age gap, a gap in class, or economic standing. Billionaire romances, mafia romances often fall into this trope. It means that one person has a perceived elevation above the other, and it uses it to their advantage until the other person puts their foot down. So next is the forbidden romance trope. And for this one, I chose Twisted Games. The allure of the forbidden is real. This trope follows a character's attraction to someone they know they shouldn't want, like a friend's ex, a friend's parent, maybe their boss or a coworker, their brother's bestie, a teacher, and so on. Now, these stories can be engaging, but their messages need to be handled with care, especially if the romance might be considered immoral or illegal. Now, this trope is a bit overdone, and it's the fake dating. Okay, so The Bodyguard. Okay, this trope sees two characters pretending to date or marry in order to fill some pressing external need. Maybe one needs a date to their cousin's wedding, or their well-meaning aunt won't stop trying to set them up with their accountant's son, and they need a buffer. Maybe the other person needs a socially acceptable relationship to hide a more contentious love. Now, these relationships of convenience begin as a business arrangement, but often grow into something deeper, whether it's real love or maybe a false friendship. Next. I actually will not read books in this trope, okay? For me, there is no reason to go back to an old relationship ever. Finito. But this trope is second chance love. And I will pick a book because I started picking books. And I'm going to pick Happy Place. Happy New. These stories see two people who miss their window take another shot at a happy ending. There might be a couple who broke things off because one of them made a mistake. Or there was a miscommunication. Or maybe they were two college friends who liked each other but were never brave enough to take the next step. Readers enjoy seeing them learn from their past and fight for real love. I just don't enjoy that. I don't. I hate miscommunication. And I don't think it's a trope I'll ever get on board with. Okay. Now, maybe you love it, but it's just not my jam. So let's get away from the romance tropes and move into mystery book tropes. As one of the most structural literary genres, mysteries have a wide range of instantly recognizable, comforting, and indulgent character tropes and plot devices. Here are some fast favorites. Now, I really like this one, the amateur sleuth, and I will choose the girl on the train. It's a real favorite in the cozy mystery genre, and this character is like an ordinary person who finds himself inescapably caught up in a case. They could be anything from a cupcake baker to a struggling musician to a fashion designer. But one thing they all have in common is that they're not considered someone with any real grit. They tend to be mild-mannered and really unassuming people. They kind of blend in with the background. And instead, they have to learn fast along the way or like to build the case as the stakes get higher and higher. Now, here's a sidebar. Did you know that they also have a furry sleuth trope too? Now, there aren't a ton of books in the trope, but I need them all. So next is the incompetent police, and I chose the Never Game. In this trope, the police often draw in the wrong conclusions in mysteries. Even if the main sleuth is on the force, they're surrounded by incompetent and often antagonistic co-workers. Now, I like the fumbling that happens in this trope, and often you get a glimpse of the hubris of the criminal. Next is Villainous Victim. And I had trouble deciding, but I finally picked The Door of Time. There are a few mysteries juicier than the one in which the victim is a person who is loathed by everyone, like anyone that knew them, from their spouse to the local cashier. In these cases, there are so many murderous motives that the sleuth has to literally wade through everyone's motives and alibis to ultimately land on the real antagonist, who could literally be anyone. So this one is my favorite in the mystery genre. It's the everybody did it trope. And this one I loved, The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle. So is the murderer person A, person B, or person C? There is no rule against making it all of the above or two of the above. In fact, the multiple murderer trope can help the early suspect get off the radar. They could be working together or working independently without knowledge of each other's nefarious deeds. I really like the extra layers that happen within this trope. Okay, next, the locked room trope. This one's exciting, and I chose the bodies in the library. So in this trope, a body is found. It's usually at someone's swanky country house, but all the windows and doors are locked. On the inside, was it suicide or something more sinister? Cue dramatic music. Dum, dum. They tend to be real mind twisters and very clever books when done correctly. Next is the unreliable narrator. It's one of those tropes that has to be done right because I still need to be able to like the character. I chose rock, paper, scissors. Now, the unreliable narrator, it's the point of view of the character who unintentionally or intentionally withhold information from the reader. They might be hiding something from their past, or they might be confused about what's really happening. This is a useful plot device for when you're trying to keep the reader guessing. They tend to be likable characters, but not always. And it helps to bring the story along when you don't know if you can trust what they're saying. So, next. So this one has become popular over the course of time, and it's surprise, amnesia. And the book I chose for this trope is In the Woods. Now, this trope really adds an extra layer of mystery because we literally know nothing, just like the main character. A witness has lost their memory, or the protagonist has lost their memory. The victim has lost their memory. The detective has lost their memory. Everyone's lost their memory. So we learn things as they learn things, and it's all very exciting. So we're going to move into horror book tropes next. Honestly, there are a ton, but let's dive into the ones that I like the best. So horror book tropes can include things like cursed items, nightmares, and the final girl. Other common tropes can be things like psychological horror, jump scares, and clowns. Okay, but we're going to start with your house wants to kill you. And the book I picked is The Shining. Things like the wallpaper that seems to move, mysterious sounds coming from behind locked doors. Something awful once happened here. You really don't want to shelter in these places, so it doesn't feel like you can go anywhere else. And it's not someone in the house, but more of some things in the house. So next, this one I really like, the Gothic. Now, for this trope, I picked the woman in black. Now, there is a lot of overlap with the haunted house trope. The weather is always terrible, scandalous ancestral secrets. Am I having a nightmare, or are vaguely supernatural things happening to me at night? Now, this trope tends to be dark and ominous without telling you outright what's happening. It's more about the feelings it makes you feel and the atmosphere rather than telling you exactly what's going on. Now, I also like this trope too, creature features. And for this one, I chose Interview with the Vampire. So take your pick. Vampires, zombies, and swamp things. Okay. Biological horrors. Sometimes the things that lurk in the shadows have fangs and claws and cannot be reasoned with. Sometimes they snatch people and they disappear. Sometimes they tear people to shreds. Sometimes they stalk their victims. This one is the scariest of them all, in my opinion. Humans are the biggest monsters. And for this book, I choose Misery. Misery. So you get a wide range of human monsters within this trope. Serial killers, cannibals, evil parents, evil spouses, evil children, evil laboratories led by evil folks doing evil things. People are literally the worst. These books tend to be pretty graphic, and I am here for it all. So next, spooky ghosts. Ghosts? And the book I chose was Amityville Horror. Now, you can overlap with the haunted house trope again, and this one often has the lead character wondering, am I going crazy or am I being haunted? And it's mostly by unfriendly spirits, rotting the pots and pans, and there's no one home, moving furniture, the ghosts, trying to get them out of the house, or maybe they need to sacrifice someone to come back to the world of the living. Ooh. Okay, next is Ancient Evil is Stalking You, and the book I chose is Imaginary Friend. What did you do? Oh no, you awakened something you shouldn't have. Oh no, now you keep seeing that thing out the corner of your eye. Oh no, it's getting closer. No. Usually someone has opened something they weren't meant to, went into a crypt, jokingly set a spell in a burial ground. Look, I'm going to stop here, okay? There are hundreds more. I literally just picked some at random, ones that I knew that I liked, and some of the ones that I knew I didn't but were popular. And I didn't even get to cover all the genres. Like, if you want more, let me know and I will do another episode. But one thing I did do was I asked what tropey things people hate on Facebook. And you know what? They didn't disappoint, okay? So this person was like, I hate when the celebrity falls in love with someone because she doesn't recognize him. And that's a change for him. She's a normal girl who's more beautiful than she realizes. You know what? I just read a book with this tribe. So that's really funny. This person. I hate when protagonists who refuse to respect their friends' abilities to make their own decisions in some misguided attempt to protect them.
Yep.
This person. I hate when the main character takes every possible opportunity to sacrifice themselves. This is normally in young adult. Like no 16-year-old is seriously going to offer up their life for the tiniest thing. And we know that they're not actually going to die, especially when it's only halfway through the damn book. It's so unrealistic and so predictable. And quite frankly, no 16-year-old is that good of a person. Yeah, facts. Facts. This person says, I hate when they use tragic backstories that are never brought up again after they're introduced or have affected the character, only ever used for cheap sympathy. I can see how that would annoy you. I've never actually come across that myself, but yeah, that would really irritate me as well. I'm with you on that. So this person was pretty funny, okay? She said, I hate the twin trope. As a twin myself, pretty much every twin-related trope you can think of No, we're not creepy. We're not psychic. We're not two halves of the same coin. One of us is not the evil one, and we don't want to have sex with you. Thanks. I'm sorry, that last part really made me laugh. Now, this person was like, I hate when conflicts that could be solved by talking like regular humans, because it always starts with a misunderstanding, but rather than just speaking to each other, they storm off. Or if they talk, they just say, please listen to me, or you got it all wrong. Instead of just saying whatever the misunderstanding was. This all day long, okay? This is what I was trying to say about the trope with misunderstanding. Hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it. So which tropes do you hate? Are there any that maybe you really love and you will seek them out on a regular basis? And does it help you when they're in the reviews stating what trope they are? Do you think tropes play a role in how you choose books? Now, next week, I'm going to dip my toe into the mania of BookTok made me do it and the role that social media plays on our book buying habits. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you did, please hit that subscribe button. YouTube.com/@therightkindofbooktalk. You can follow me on TikTok at right.kind.book.talk. Instagram at The Right Kind of Book Talk. I also have a Facebook page. It's at Right Kind Book Talk. No dots in that one. You can always email me, therightkindofbooktalk@gmail.com. I'm always looking for feedback, new topics, whether you want to come on the show. I'm still waiting for that elusive episode. I don't care what you want to talk about. Just email me. We'll do it. We'll figure it out. I promise. Now, you can find The Right Kind of Book Talk on Spotify, Apple Music, RSS, Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Amazon, and pretty much anywhere else you can find a podcast. Give me a follow on any of these, and you could be in with a chance to win bookish prizes. Send a friend to my YouTube channel, and they subscribe. You then double your chances of winning. Like, at this point, I'm just going to start throwing bookmarks in the mail and just making you guys do it. I really want you to have the reading day you deserve, and I will see you next week. So this is Stacey Wright signing off from The Right Kind of Book Talk. Take care, guys.